We're reading today from Psalm 22, if you want to join me in turning to Psalm 22. So Psalm 22 and verses 1 through to 31. For the director of music to the tune of the Doe of the Morning, a psalm of David. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions, they tear their prey open, open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garments. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honour him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfil my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him, for dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him, those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it.
Well, when our children were much younger and kids from the street would come over to play, I remember when a little boy, Will, would come over. Will was probably about 7 years of age at the time. He'd be playing Lego with Noah, and then he'd come up to me and say something like, "Can I have a glass of milk?" And another time, you know, he'd be playing Play-Doh, and then he'd come up to Kirsty, and they then say, ask things like, "I'm hungry, do you have some chips? Do you have some Tidy Teddies?" It was sort of cute. For the first request, we thought, yeah, why not? Here you go, buddy. But then eventually we were like, kid, go back to your own house, $2 down, and raid your own pantry. But you got to give it to him. He sort of gave these open, confident requests. He asked so boldly. Well, today we come to the next step in learning to lament. if we're going to take the gift of lament that God gives us, we need to learn to come to our Heavenly Father and ask boldly. And we're talking about grief and suffering, frustration and loss. So when I say we're to ask boldly, it's not just ask God for things. I'm talking about a bold request when in our suffering we call on God to act like God, to act according to His promises. I'm talking about, you know, when you wake up in the morning and yet again you wake up in the fog of depression and so you say, oh God, restore me, help me. I'm talking about when you see your friends with their boyfriends, their husbands, their kids, and you're still alone, so you say to God, God, will you love me? I'm talking about when a friend's child is killed in an accident and life is shattered and you ask why and you say to God, Lord, rescue us from this despair. Now, grief and suffering, it's not tame. Grief is something wild, isn't it? Sadness and disappointment just bores a hole into our chest. Well, lament can be wild as well. To boldly request of God in our lament will seem like we're almost commanding God. It's that bold because it's a desperate plea for God. And the song of lament, the song of sorrow that we're looking at today is the one we just looked at, Psalm 22. Just to retrace our steps over the last couple of weeks, lament requires us to pray to God, to turn to God in prayer, talk to Him, pray through the pain, not give God the silence treatment, turn to Him if it's even a cry. And to lament is to offer up our complaint, our frustration, our experience of injustice. We bring a case before God of how God, our life just seems so unkind and unfair, and we ask questions of God, why are you so unkind to me? For sure, grief is not tame. Neither is lament. And Psalm 22 is unique in all the Psalms. This song sort of launches itself into lament. Did you notice that there in the very first verse, the turn and the complaint are there from the very beginning? If you were into cars, you could say Psalm 22 accelerates into lament, you know, 0 to 100 in 3.4 seconds or something. I mean, let's read again verse 1. Where it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? Psalm 22, the turning to God, the complaint is there as we see, but it also has bold requests as well. Before we actually get into the psalm though, I just want to make the point, I think we're so used to speaking, praying to God in such a tentative, polite way that I actually think it stands out when someone speaks to their God in boldness. I think of my friend Andrew. You know, when Andrew prays, he says, Amen. And he says it so loudly and clearly, like he really means it. And when I hear my friend pray, he actually asks for God's rescue and strength like he expects to be given it. He makes prayer not just this wishful thinking, but a confident, unflinching request of God to take action. So encouraging. Maybe you have friends like that as well. Well, I hope Psalm 22 helps us to pray more like that. Here's my next point. Psalm 22 gives us the necessary yet bridge we all need. Now I'll explain that. But we see the complaint, verse 1, don't we? And these words, actually, we talked about this last week, they were taken up by Jesus at the cross. You can read it in the Gospels that Jesus took on these anguished words as he suffered in our place. And because of Jesus, when we belong to Jesus, we can take up these words too. And where it says, why are you so far from saving me? This distance, this so far from saving me, it's not about physical distance. It's about relational abandonment. Put it like this, you know, there are husbands who have to travel interstate for work. You know, that's physical distance. You can handle quite easily when someone is far away from you in that way. But when, say, that husband or father packs up his things and leaves his family behind, that's real distance. That's relational abandonment. Well, that's this complaint here, the shock the psalm writer is feeling. Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my words of groaning. God, have you left me all alone? But the psalm writer, in this case David, turns to the character of God. Verse 3. And this is the yet bridge in the psalm. Have a read with me from verse 3 where it says, yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. In you our fathers put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. Who knew a short little three-letter word, yet, could pack such a punch? See, this man who's going through such abandonment is anchoring his soul in who God is and what he has done, yet. Notice the yet there, verse 3. Yet he's remembering the historical deeds of God. A remembrance of how others found God to be their deliverer. Now that's important. Now I just want to say for ourselves, we can't borrow other people's faith. We need our own faith in Christ Jesus. But in this yet, verse 3, God's action towards others matters. The continuity of God in the past to God in the present needs to be remembered. God has rescued them from the past, in the past. He will rescue in the present. This is the yet bridge that emerges out of this heart-wrenching complaint. He's asking God questions of God, yet. Have a look at the second yet bridge in Psalm 22. We'll get to it in a second. But notice how David again just plunges into such a low point, verse 6. Says it himself, verse 6, I'm a worm and not a man. I'm a worm and not a man. He's insulted, he's mocked, he's rejected. You know, you maybe in your backyard you have a compost heap and all that foul, decomposing, foul stuff. You pick it up and you can find the worms inside that. That's how he feels about himself. He just lives in the crap. But on the other side of those words, we have the next yet bridge. Have a look, verse 9, where he says there, yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast upon you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near and there's no one to help. At the first yet, verse 3, was remembrance of God in the past, his faithfulness to others. Verse 9, this is now more personal. He's rehearsing, he's reminding his heart the way God has chosen to be close to him. Two yets, verse 3, verse 9. And I'm using this word yet bridge. It's one of the terms used in Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, the book. But it's about how the lament moves from complaint, moves from complaint towards bold request. His complaints, they're not this angry, bitter, cul-de-sac of sorrow. They are bridges towards that lead him to knowing God again. Yet is how pain and belief coexist. Yet is gaining confidence to ask boldly, despite the sorrow we feel. Yet reminds us, grief does not have to be healed before we ask God for help. The grace of lament is to pray boldly, even as we're bruised badly. Do you need an injection of faith filled yet in the awful hardship you're facing? There is a beauty in the yet. You've lost your job. You're divorced. Your child has abandoned their upbringing, Christian faith. You didn't get the course you wanted. Bring your complaint, but also there's something that our anguished heart can also pray, yet. Yet there is God. Yet means there's hope. Yet means God is indeed our deliverer and our saviour. So from the yet, we can pass over the bridge to our bold requests. That's what the writer of this psalm does. Twice he boldly asks of God. Just to see the flow again of this psalm, verse 1, he complains, "Why are you so far from saving me?" But he crosses the yet bridge to God's character, God's goodness. Check out verse 11. The first request is, verse 11, "Do not be far from me." Then again, skim over to verse 19. "But you, O Lord, be not far off." What a confident, bold request of the Lord. It's almost like he's commanding the Lord to be the Lord. Now, in our own situations, we can sometimes be bold in asking others the things we want. We're usually bold, though, because we have power, because we have position. You know, if you're a parent, you can boldly ask your kids to come to the meal table, to put on their shoes because we're about to go out. If you're in a workplace and you're the boss, you manage a team, you could boldly ask that team member to do something. Have that report ready by Friday. Bold requests with power and position. But this is the opposite. In the process of anguish, lament, bold requests with no power, no position, but because we're hurting and we're desperate and we turn to the one, our Lord, who has all the power of being holy and mighty and faithful and good. We're asking God to act according to his character and his promises. Now that's the blessing of lament. It shines the spotlight on how frail and powerless we are, and we're led towards reaffirming our dependence on the Lord. I've got to say, I always loved hearing my friend Andrew pray with confidence. His boldness in coming to his heavenly Father. Have you ever listened to someone who displays a bold dependence on the Lord, and in their boldness fans into flame your belief within your own prayer life? That's what this psalm can do for us. The thing about boldly asking of God, the Psalms give us plenty of examples of what that looks like. Not just Psalm 22. This is why, as we learn to lament, the Psalms are so helpful. They teach us what we can ask for. And the variety of bold requests within the Psalms, they match the variety of painful situations we will find ourselves in. Yeah, in his book, Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, Mark Vrogop, he's done the work, he's surveyed all the different psalms, the different bold requests. He says the pain-filled petitions tend to come in certain forms, like asking of God to arise, O Lord, which is a plea for God to fix what's wrong. When God's moved to act, everything will change. It's like, do something, Lord. Or there are those prayers of lament where the ask is, grant us help. You know, when we suffer, our self-sufficiency is exposed. We're always dependent on God, but then our pain shows it to be true, so we cry out for deliverance, for rescue, for strength. In the book, he looks at different ways the psalm give us bold requests. There's also, remember your covenant. this is a call for God to be true to the promises he's made. It's not that God's forgotten anything, but it's a call on God to act according to his historic faithfulness. Mark Vrogot mentions a bunch. Here's one more. Let justice be done. You know, if we haven't wanted the wicked to be punished, it's because we haven't faced suffering at cruel hands. But godly people bluntly request God to defeat the wicked. When there's harm, when there's abuse, we boldly ask God to act for the sake of justice. That's just a few examples, these pain-filled petitions. See, the Psalms, they're expansive in giving us ways to lament in the struggles we face. But right now, I'm going to give you one of my ad breaks. Now, this is a promo for our Dark Clouds Deep Mercy playlist that we've put together. You can go to Spotify, you can go to Apple, you can go to YouTube. Now, those ancient Bible songs of lament, ask boldly of God. Well, in our playlist, you'll find modern songs that take up that cue as well, asking boldly, like, Lord, from sorrows deep I call. The song goes, for so long I've pled and prayed, God, come to rescue me. Be my hope and refuge. Till my faith is turned to sight, Lord, my heart will praise you. To lament, it's so bold. It's to call on God to be true to who he is and what he has said. I suspect for many of us, we're very much learning to lament. This is new for us. In times of suffering, rather than walking in faith, instead we remain silent, we stay stoic, or we're full of anger. But to lament is a journey to live by faith between these two poles of our suffering and God's goodness. And lament, it's not neat and tidy. It's not a neat and tidy process where we complete one step before we move to the other. In fact, to ask boldly doesn't mean we've even finished with our complaints. No, it's just that alongside our bold complaints, asking the question of why, comes even bolder request to God, where we focus on who he is. It's like an eclipse. You know how you can look up in the sky and you can then see how the sun and the moon and the earth, they sort of come into play with each other, with the shadows. One eclipses the other. Well, in a similar way, not that bold request replaces bold complaint. It's just that boldly asking of God can eclipse, can become more prominent. And in learning to lament, I mentioned this last week, the invitation is there to come forward during morning tea today, and we're just going to have a time of prayer. We'll have some prayer points, and if you want, you can share your own experiences of pain, injustice, frustration. But we're going to pray and practice lamenting together, whoever wants to join us. Lamenting requires faith and a boldness to bring our complaints and even more to bring our requests. But here's one more point that Psalm 22 teaches us. Boldness is possible for us because we're to come to Jesus, the man of sorrows, who understands our weakness and our struggles. For the Christian, here's the ultimate reason to be bold. Because of Jesus. You know, into the New Testament, the book of Hebrews, it says about Jesus who went to the cross, who defeated sin and death for us, and is in heaven standing there for us, it says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Jesus is the reason to be bold. Jesus did not sin, but he experienced the pain and the brokenness of our world. He has great sympathy for us. He loves us. He is for us. So in prayer we can ask boldly because Jesus understands deeply. And the Song of Lament, which is Psalm 22, is actually the life of lament that Jesus lived. If you're still there, Psalm 22, did you pick up where the words of this psalm, all the anguish and sorrow, is exactly what Jesus had to endure? This psalm, these song lyrics, is the script that Jesus lived. I mean, look at verse 1, when Jesus cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Or go down to verse 6 and 7. Like a worm, not a man, and people insulted him and mocked him. That's how Jesus was treated. Or go over to verse 16. It's exactly what happened at the cross. They pierced his hands and feet with metal stakes. Look at verse 18. Jesus naked and nailed to the cross, and the soldiers divvy up his clothes. See, this song of lament is not simply a poem of suffering. It's the very picture of Jesus suffering. Jesus lived a life of lament. See, Jesus knows temptation, injustice, hypocrisy, false accusations, betrayal, abandonment, every anguish you and I will face. Jesus has faced it too. So you and I can be bold in asking God. Because we have these songs of sorrow to teach us, but we have this man of sorrow who's been there, who understands us, and now sits there in heaven, and he is there for us. Be bold in Jesus. Again, some of you might have had a friend like Andrew. The way Andrew's been to me, bold in prayer. He builds confidence as I pray with him. And that's what Psalms are supposed to do for us. From boldness can come boldness. And keep this in mind for yourself the next time you get alongside a hurting friend. You know, you can join in the prayer group today even. But even future times, when a friend is in pain because of something big, because of something small, and maybe because they're hurting, they will struggle to muster much boldness. So as their friend, as you approach God, the throne in heaven with boldness, you serve your friend greatly. You can ask God for help when they can't. And your firm faith helps create stronger faith in them. Prayer really is a way of serving others. If you don't know what to pray, you could use the words of Psalm 22 or use the words of Psalm 13, what we're looking at next week. But boldness helps create boldness when people are struggling in faith. We're learning to lament. In lament, we're invited to ask God boldly. In the pathway, the steps of lament, we're moving go from the why of suffering to the who of God who we pray to. And we pray boldly, not just because we're in desperate need, but because we depend on God. We ask him to act according to his character, to act according to his promises. So let's ask. Ask him for mercy and help. Ask him to lift you up. Ask him for strength in the midst of pain. Boldness is possible as we remember his love and grace and power. Boldness is possible because we draw to Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for how we can come to you yet again. And I do not know the pain and the suffering of those in this room, but you do. You know it so much. You know it deeply. Because Jesus suffered grief upon grief. We're so thankful that Jesus endured the cross for us, that he was raised and he reigns and he stands for us. We thank you that you move not away from us, but you move towards us in our sin and temptations and weakness and pain and loss. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that even as we come with our questions of why, we can still know that yet you are good, yet you are powerful, yet you are full of grace. You know what we face, so be not far from us. Come quickly to help us, deliver us, rescue us. You know how we feel so lowly, so lift us up. Reveal your love and mercy to us yet again. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.